This week and next week might not be flooded with games. You can check out the videos I did on these next 2 weeks to see what's coming up. But that doesn't mean there isn't some video game news. And this is a bit of news, a bit of gaming business, and a bit of a podcast for your informed gamers. This is the ACG Gaming News. There's a ton, actually, today. We're going to talk about it with enough money to tease DB Cooper out of hiding. The great Hoover Vacuum of Gaming just purchased and is purchasing Gearbox, Aspyr Media, and a mobile developer today, and that's the Embracer Group, as gamers have become more invested in the business side of things, especially lately, and more importantly, where their favorite IPs are, and if they have a chance of seeing them handled better. I'm going to discuss a little bit of business as well. Embracer Group is, of course, the investment company funded by Lars Wingefor, who started, like we all do, selling Christmas magazines and plastic bags, and then, like most 13-year-olds, he started a comic book company. He's the Doogie Howser of businessmen. You can toss a rock out of your window, and the chances of you smashing the head of an employee of Embracer Group or a subsidiary is not out of the question. Here are just some of the companies. And here's a wiki quote. And the stock jump from today's purchases. So while the purchase of Gearbox is a combination of liquid cash and shares, the purchase of Aspyr seems to be completely with cash. All the companies have indicated they expect no real changes, and that includes Gearbox working with their previous publisher, 2K Games, who also released a statement about this. Now, Embracer really has been overly hands-off with any group that they've invested in, with over 60 internal studios, 6,000 employees now, and across 45 companies. The juggernaut of purchasing and then slinking off has pulled in some more. So if you're asking, one thing I want to talk about is that a lot of gamers have been bantering back and forth that Aspyr is the rumored makers of a new KOTOR title coming in the future. And while that may be true, the press statement for the purchases states that the big game being worked on by Aspyr is in around the $80 million range, which for a Star Wars KOTOR title of the scope and length and expectations of most gamers would be incredibly small, considering shooter titles like Homefront was $50 million all the way back in 2011, Borderlands 2 was in excess of $35 million, and Watch Dogs in 2014 was $70 million. While a smart, tightly budgeted KOTOR 3 sounds awesome, it also seems incredibly tight. So hopefully, as Microsoft has been doing, this purchase might also include additional resources where needed so that Aspyr doesn't have to cut in places that have been traditionally high effort in KOTOR titles, including the online game, which is the length, the voice acting, and the complex systems. Regardless of the amount of money Embracer is pumping into gaming, I'm surprised they didn't just say screw it and buy all the GME stock when it was doing well. We'll just have to see if this works, or if, like the GME stock, it craters like a burning hole of despair. Speaking of a burning hole of despair, let's talk about your wallet and Mass Effect Legendary Edition that's coming on May 14th. So recently, EA opened to particular influences and press a restricted media event to see the versions of the Legendary Editions being worked on. So of course, improvements and changes noted here are subject to the inevitable awesome creep that people seeing early games can have, especially in special groups, and they always seem to crop up. It's making some insane changes to the games though. Coming in hot for the PS4, the Xbox, and PC, the Legendary Edition has a huge number of gameplay adjustments and improvements. They have a pulled back camera adjustment. The elevators are far less elevatory. The changes to the combat is merging movement and cover changes we saw in 2 and 3 and melding them into Mass Effect 1, while at times always making sure the fictions from 2 and 3 don't make their way back into 1 and possibly breaking that visual field and the world experienced in the later sequels, like the uniforms and lettering that didn't even exist in Mass Effect 1. Now, on the technical side, we've got 4K, HDR, and up to 60 FPS. I want to make sure I stress that. It says up to, not locked. No Xbox Series or PlayStation 5 versions are planned at this time. The real question will, of course, be, have they done enough to get newcomers who've never played it feel engaged and a good enough title to strike out against the current competition? And will those that have been pulled back in see enough of a change to jump into this? Now, remembering that the original game came out in 2017, meaning that many gamers may not have been able to experience these titles and these games so forth. So that's a bit of a stupid argument. But just like playing the third game and realizing there was no intelligent life you could sense involved in that shitty ending, it doesn't mean everything in the Legendary Edition is good. For example, the Ultimate Edition of the Legendary Edition also comes with no game, but instead of the infamous cat hat that shipped with Halo, where people would have to have fucking Zika to wear it, here the helmet is fully wearable for a person who has a normal size head. So if you have a honking Yorkshire size noggin, then don't think you're going to be slipping this on like a fine suit. However, I think a lot of people who splurge for that $150 would like a code of the game inside of those. I'm not a person who regularly purchases those kind of things, so that'll be up to those of you who do. As you guys know, these news segments are not only the news bits as the starting, but a little bit of a podcast. And now we're adding a little bit of business because a lot of people are getting into wanting to understand gaming and business as a whole. And my job is to make that at least somewhat entertaining. So let's talk for a second about Embracer Group. Embracer Group has just that, embraced gaming at an absolute headwind. These guys have gone out and purchased a bunch of stuff. And this is from somebody who is an astute businessman. So astute that when he was having issues and ran up against the inevitable business failure that you would have if you were trying to do a bunch of shit, he ended up selling his company. And then later, when that company failed, he bought it back for, well, basically $1 or 1 kroner, which I assume is even less than a buck. Here is a company that has gone out and quietly purchased multiple titles. Now, I get it that a lot of people be like, quietly, really? We hear about it all the time. We do. But if you notice, we just hear about the purchase. You don't hear about any other issues or any other changes. And that's because from everybody that I've talked to behind the scenes, any small developers or composers working on various games, there isn't a lot of changes that actually occur at the companies. Maybe a little bit more of investment here and there, but a lot of them are just basically purchased and allowed to continue exactly as they see fit, which is what we see with Borderlands. The reason why this is important is because if a company was already planning on making a title and then gets purchased, many times a lot of people worry that something will adjust to the negative. Some kind of business will be added that will make it worse. That doesn't really happen here. If there is one caveat I will say about Embracer Group, I feel that their PR is not handled incredibly well. A lot of their games just sort of come out, and this is something I've talked about in my reviews. You can see all of those and my discussions in various other reviews for anything that these guys have done. It feels like their PR needs to really step it up. Now, when you look at a lot of titles and you see how a lot of titles work, many of them double up on PR, meaning that the original game may be 50 million, but they usually expect to spend around 50 million for the exact same part when it comes to the press and getting the news out and making sure that articles are written and all of that. However, as we look back, we have seen Embracer Group state pretty clearly that that wasn't exactly their plan. I think also with the virus and the issues hitting here, we may actually see a lot of companies saving a good bit of money by using influencers for the Legendary Edition of Mass Effect by EA, where a lot of times it's just going to be that kind of situation where it's all going to be remote and people are going to basically zoom in to see the game or sign into special accounts to play it. To me, that's the way these things are moving forward, and it saves a lot of company money from the smaller titles, especially when it can cost upwards of $500,000 to above to make a vertical slice for an E3 or a PAX. Speaking of that, let's talk just for a moment about the Mass Effect editions. So these are coming out. There's been some rumors about a Switch edition that might be streaming, but that was sort of kiboshed. And the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X versions of these games just aren't planned at this time. And a good reason why they stated that is because they felt that they could improve and remaster slash remake some parts of these for the original systems, but they really wanted people to feel like if they jumped into a Series X or a PlayStation 5 version, that version was going to be massively improved. And that would probably require a huge amount of investment, where here you're going to see a great deal of improvements, 4K, HDR, improvements to all the textures, and of course, up to 60 FPS, but you won't see a complete rechanging of the guard where they end up going in and they absolutely remake everything. In fact, I think a lot of us, while we like the Mass Effect games, are probably okay with that because we don't necessarily want them to spend a bunch of money on the remake where we would like to see a sequel or some extra fiction within those game worlds. But that'll be up to you guys. I'd like to hear what you guys expect or want. Personally, I just want Mass Effect 4. Use the Shepard ending where he breathes right at the end and just move from there. And that's what it appears, at least slightly, to be what they're doing with the Mass Effect 4 game that they have actually shown that brief trailer snippet for. Now, as we close this up, I would love to know what you guys think of this small edition of the business. I'm trying to not keep it super dry, but a lot of people are wanting to know more about the business. I'm not going to get too into it, but this is something I've done for 25 years, so it feels like a part of gaming news that I could cover that would add a little bit of knowledge and information on your guys' side, and it's something that we talk about in our podcasts on Friday, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on ACG on Twitch, where we do jump in many times to the various different technical elements and, of course, business elements that occur within the gaming industry. I would love for you to check that out. That's it for me. Check out the Patreon. I try to do this. Remember, no sponsors. The only people who support me are me, the actual views, and of course, the patrons themselves. So if you get a chance, check it out. Other than that, peace out. Check out the other videos that I've got. Whenever you see a news, I would love for you to click it. Enjoy.